Okay, good morning, everybody. So this morning we're going to discuss the continuation of the Gemara that we covered last time, but it's really an independent sugya in almost every possible way. So just as a recap, right, so the Gemara last time was discussing what exactly the notion of this idea of chalukah is, and we seem to paskin that at the end of the day, the Gemara assumes that the Mishnah is talking about an amount of space that is less than 4 amos by 4 amos, and therefore it is not habitable for each person to get their own 4 amos space. And therefore, in order to create a division of this property, you would require both parties to acquiesce to the interest in splitting. So once both parties acquiesce, then the Gemara has a problem, because the Gemara says, so take a look at, it's about four lines from before it gets wide. The beginning of the very beginning of the line, right after the parentheses that we excluded. So the Gemara says, b'mayukimta l'masnisin b'she'in ba'din chaluka. Right? Why did we bother to assume that our mission is talking about where there is less than a chaluka? Now, if you recall last time, right, so we talked about whether or not that implies there hezek ria shme hezek ria lav shme hezek, whether or not that's sufficient to force somebody to build a wall, even if it's less than a din chaluka. And the way that the Gemara seemed to conclude was that we paskin hezek ria shme hezek, and nonetheless, despite the fact that it's called damage, you can't force the other guy to build a wall with you if he doesn't want to, if it's less than a din chalukah. So the Gemara is bothered. Why bother to make the Mishnah talking about a case where it's less than a din chalukah? Much better to talk about a case where there is a din chalukah. You have 4 by 4 for each person. And then you could force him to split, because that would clearly prove that hezek ria shme hezek. Right? That was the Gemara's problem. That's the Gemara's problem. So b'mayu kimta l'masnitzim she'ima din chalukah. Second problem, the Gemara says. Forget the hezek ria stuff we talked about before. That's, of course, a problem. But I have a better problem. Once they agree, so what are they agreeing? They're agreeing to something with which there is no legal force and effect to requiring their participation in this agreement. So the fact that they both verbally agreed to split this very small piece of property, so what? Let's say they change their mind. So on Monday, Reuven and Shimon decide, you know what, it's been a good 20 years, that's enough. Enough's enough, time to put up a wall. And by Wednesday, Reuven comes back to Shimon and says, listen, Shimon, I know on Monday I said I wanted to build a wall, but then I talked it over with my wife and she went ballistic. Absolutely not, we're not doing this wall. So they could just back out. There's no penalty, right? There was nothing here that requires them to stay committed to this agreement to split the wall. How do I know? Because what kinyan did they do? Right, they didn't do anything. There was no transaction that required them to obligate themselves to stay in this deal. Right now, normally, when two parties want to engage in a deal, so if they want to buy or sell something, in order to effectuate the transaction, there has to be a kinyan, some formal way of showing that this transaction has now been entered into. And until you do that kinyan, on a technical level, the transaction is not done. So if you walk into the supermarket and you pay for something, but you didn't pick it up yet and you didn't take it home with you, you don't own it. And if the supermarket wants to give you back your money, so machlokes is in the Mishnah, the fourth parak of Metzia, but according to one day in the Mishnah, the supermarket can give you back the money and say, no, we're not selling this to you, I'm not interested. Or you could go back to the supermarket and say, you know what, I know I paid you already for the apples, but I decided I don't like the apples you have, so I want my money back. And if you never picked up the apples, you can take your money back. No kinyan. The deal is not done. So here, the same thing is true. So Reuven and Shimon, what's the story, right? They walk into the backyard. Reuven says to Shimon, okay, time to split. Shimon says, okay, let's split. So what does that do? That's not a transaction. There's no kinyan. There's no maisa. They didn't do anything to split it. So how could it be? So they could just back out. So you just end it. In which case, if they could just back out, so what's the problem in the Mishnah? What does the Mishnah say? Hashutafin shiratu lasos mechitza b'chatzer. Bonin es hakosel. And what did we say that means? Balkarcho, you could force him. What kind of forcing to a guy who could back out? If he could back out any time, you can't force him to do anything. So what's the point of saying then that the Mishnah means you could force him to build a wall? It's irrelevant. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara answers, Amrab Asi Amrab Yochanan, Shekanu Miyadam. They made a kinyan from each other. So then the Gemara says, okay, V'chikanu Miyadan Mayhave. Kanu Miyadan, what does that mean? It means that they said to each other, look at Rashi, V'chikanu Miyadan, where is it? Rashi doesn't have it. It's on the next line. It's on the next word. So we read the next words in the Gemara first. So, v'chikanu miyadon mehave, kinyin dvarim ba'almahu. Who cares that you made a kinyan miyadan from their hands, literally speaking? It's a kinyan dvarim. It's just an agree. It's a verbal agreement. The verbal agreement is irrelevant. That's not a real agreement. Look at Rashi. Kinyan dvarim hu. What's kanu miyadan? Ve'ein chalipin konin ela davar hanikne o mecher o matana o shibud karkos. Kanu miyadan Rashi understands to be some kind of kinyan chalipin. Right? Kinyan chalipin in the classic sense is where I want to swap. It's a barter exchange. I want to swap item A for item B. So I take item B, and then you automatically become the owner of item A. So kanu miyadan. So you take somehow the land for me on my side, and then I become the owner of my side, and you become the owner of your side. The point is here that how are you going to do that? There's nothing to do a kinyan chalipin on. So here the chalipin is that I told you to take your side, and I told me to take my side. What kind of chalipin is that? That's not a chalipin. That's nothing. Kinyan dvarim ba'almahu. It's just words. It's word salad. It doesn't count for anything. No. So the Gemara says no. What does it mean? B'shikanu miyadan beruchos. So the Gemara says on the last narrow line, it means that they did a kinyan chalipin in the directions of the land that they wanted. In other words, that they delineated seemingly. They delineated, I want this side, you want that side. So look at Rashi. What does beruchos mean? Rashi says, Dr. Rashi, zeh borer lo chilek mizrachi, v'zeh borer lo chilek ma'aravi, v'kanu miyada. They agreed, I'll take this side of the lot, you take that side of the lot. Ume'ata, and from this moment, nikne chilek mizrachi lazeh, v'ein lazeh chilek bo, v'chein hasheni lechaveiro. So what does it mean to do a kinyan chalipin in this kind of a case? Rashi says, here's why it works, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Because when I delineate that I'm going to take this side, by me saying I'm taking this side, that automatically means you take that side. And it means, by me, Reuven, taking side A, that I have no claim anymore on side B, and vice versa. So that works. You can't back out anymore. Because now that I'm tied to side A, it means I no longer have any rights whatsoever in side B. So now that I have no more any rights in side B, I could force you to build the wall. So you can't back out anymore. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. We're going to see that it's not so clear that that's the proper understanding. But before we finish get to the other understandings of this Gemara, let's take a look at the next line. Ravashi Amar. Ravashi says, different answer seemingly, Kigon shahalach zeh besoch shalo vehechazik, vezeh besoch shalo vehechazik. Each one made a chazaka on his side. What is that? What's a chazaka? So we know that a kinyan chazaka, the way in which you own something by dint of a chazaka, is where you make substantial improvements to the land. So either you walk around the borders and you put up a border fence, you put to change the locks on the door, you do something that shows that you are the owner of this property. So the Rashi answer seems to be that you made some kind of chazaka that shows that you're the owner of this side of the land, and he shows that he's the owner of that side of the land. So here's the problem. Okay, let's look at Rashi first, and then we'll identify the problems. Rashi says vehechzik. Vehechzik bechelko, what does it mean he took his portion? Rafak beporta, he dug up the dirt on his side of the land, right? Vekarka nikna bechazaka achre asher ratzu b'shas chaluka. Right, once they agree that they want to split, so now you can take possession of the land with chazaka. So here's there's a couple of problems with this Gemara. The first is, are Rabbi Yochanan and Ravashi arguing? Are they arguing? What's the problem? The problem is that the Gemara is trying to figure out is, can you back out of this deal? And the Gemara thinks you can back out unless you do something that prevents you from backing out. So when Rabbi Yochanan and Ravashi are suggesting the ways in which you can back out, are they arguing? They're saying there's only one way to do this? Or are they just giving you the list of possibilities? That's issue number one, which we'll take a look into in a minute. Yeah, Nathan.
You're saying that read is that the king chazaka is what it means to come miyada?
So we're going to get to that point. So that's the next issue, which is, what does it mean, kanu miyadam, right? When the Gemara says, I kanu miyadam kinin dvarim ba'almahu, and then it says, kanu miyadam beruchos. So is Ravashi responding to the kanu miyadam, or is Ravashi responding to the original problem of they could back out? Right, that's your question. No, what's your question? So say it again.
I don't understand both of the questions, I guess.
So the first question in the Gemara is, if we're going to make the ukimta in the Mishnah, that once it's not a din chaluka, I mean there's not enough space that I could force you to split with me. So we're stuck together. And the only way me and you could split is if we agree to put up a wall. So the Mishnah itself says that even if once we agree, I could force you to build a wall. So the Gemara's problem is that if you make the ukimta in the Mishnah, that it's not a din chaluka, that's not a true statement. Because just because we've agreed to split does not mean that I have to stay in that agreement. Nothing's been done yet that I'm not able to back out of the agreement. I can walk away anytime I want. So then the Gemara says, okay, fine. So you made some kind of kinyan. What kind of kinyan? It's a kinyan dvar. Any agreement that we make that's a kinyan is a non-formal kinyan. So then the Gemara has two options. Either it's kanu miyadim baruchos, which seems to be Rabbi Yochanan's approach, or Rav Ashi's approach of chazaka. So are both of those an answer to what the kinyan is? Or is Rav Ashi trying to solve the problem of why you can't back out? Not about what the kinyan is. Right? The kinyan is the reason why you can't back out. But what's Rav Ashi responding to? Is he responding to Rav Yochanan? Or is he responding to the original complication in the Mishnah, in the Gemara? Right? Which is, why can I force you to build a wall if I could back out? So Rav Ashi might be saying, forget, there's no kinyan here. There's just a chazaka. Why would there be no kinyan here? Logically. Why would there be no kinyan here?
Not enough space.
Because what did Rashi say before about kinyan chalipin, which is true about all kinyanim? Let's look at Rashi again. Rashi says, kinyan dvarmu, ve'ein chalipin konin eladavar hanikne, o mecher, o matana, o shibud karkos. What do we have here? Do we have any of those things? Do we have something that's transferred? No. Do we have something that can be sold? No. There's partners. They're not selling anything. Do we have any gifts going back and forth here? No. Do we have any shibud karkos, any liens on any of the property here? Also no. So what kinyan are you talking about? Right, and that's problem number two. Right, Rav Ashi's approach doesn't seem to have anything to do with any kinyan. Now, Rashi, right, throws in a word here, right? Let's read Rashi again in Vehechzik. Rashi Ramachsov Vehechzik. What does Rashi say? Vehechzik Bechelko, Rafag Beporta, Vikarka Nikne Bechazaka. Why is Rashi saying that? Because Rashi wants to say that Rav Ashi is dealing with the same problem of the Kanu Miyada. But there's an alternative read, right? We're going to take a look at Tosfos in 10 seconds. We'll see there's a very different way of reading this Gemara, right? And then the Rishonim fight about it. Right, everybody with me on Rashi's problems? So those are the two major problems in the Sugya. Now, when we read Tosfos, keep in mind that there's another level here, which is, what's the upshot in saying that there's a distinction between these two answers? Meaning, why would there be a difference? Meaning, we're going to see one way of reading the Gemara, that there's just two different answers to the same question, and really there's no functional difference. There, it's irrelevant. Just two different ways of getting to the same result. That is the opinion of the Ramban, and it might even be what Rashi actually thinks. But leaving that aside for a moment, right? What would be the upshot the other way to not say that way, right? So that's what I want you to keep. So keep that in mind when you read Tosos, okay? So let's take a look at Tosos now. So Tosos says, let's do Tosos Rav Ashi Amar Kigon, right? So Rav Ashi Amar Kigon Shalach V'chula. Tosa says, Tema Lari. I have a problem. Ma bar Rav Ashi Lohosef. Right? What's Rav Ashi adding? In other words, if you read the Gemara as offering two different solutions to the same problem, so if functionally the solutions are the same, so then why bother? Right? Who needs Rav Ashi here? Rav Yochanan already told you an answer. Right? It's not usually the Gemara's habit to cite very, very late Amoraim and very, very, very early Amoraim, possibly Tanaim, in the same answer to one problem. Meaning, if Rav Yochanan has a solution to the problem, it's unlikely that we're going to quote Ravina and Rav Ashi as having an alternative solution, unless there's a particular efficacy of citing his solution. So Tosus is bothered. Why are you bringing him here? It's irrelevant. V'chi itzrich lashmi inan dechazaka mo'elas kimo kinyan. Really? You needed to bring Rav Ashi to tell me that you could be kone karka bechazaka? It's a mefurish Mishnah of Kiddushin. The Mishnah says that karka niknis bechazaka. Kesef shtar bechazaka. It's a Mishnah. It's literally a mefurish Mishnah. So you're going to tell me the Gemara didn't know the Mishnah? Come on. What kind of ridiculous answer is that? The Gemara knew the Mishnah. So it can't be that Rav Ashi is coming along to tell me, like Rashi understood, right? This is Tosfos' psychic jab at Rashi, right? Rashi, very nice, very nice that you decided to explain the Gemara as talking about kinyan chazaka. Beautiful, it's beautiful. Except for that it's wrong. Because the Gemara does not need me to tell me that there's a Mishnah that says that you can be niknis karka v'chazaka. If that's the whole point of Rashi, come on. That's not a chiddush. Yeah.
Isn't the whole, wouldn't Rashi just
So we're going to have to reinterpret Rashi for a second, right? Rashi's going to have to come up with a better answer as to why Rav Ashi's here. But that question is still valid on the first question, which is, what's the kinyan chalipin? Right? What's the kanu miyadim? Right? That's a valid problem. Right? We don't have a clear kinyan here.
right? But you could say that the chazaka on the land only applies to, like, if it's four ramos, if it's a certain size.
Well, you, but again,
it's less than a certain size.
Like, but again, so saying, so that means, so saying, apply. I'm saying, so you're about 1,000 years too late. Because if you were an Amora, you could say that the Mishnah in Kedushin that says that you could acquire land with a Kenyan Chazaka is only talking about four Amos. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says you could acquire any amount of land with a Kenyan Chazaka. It could be two Tvachim. You could own 4 square inches with a Kenyan Chazaka. All you have to do is take a shovel, dig your one shovel full on your 4 square inches, you own it. That's how you do a Kenyan on it, right? And that doesn't solve our problem from before, which is that it seems like from Rashi that you don't need a Kenyan at all. Right, because what kinyan are we making here? Right, which is Tosus's underlying issue that he's trying to point out. Right, so that's Tosus's question. So Tosus says, "V'nir
l'ri." I mean, the bigger question is what the kinyan of Rav Yochanan is. Let's say Borer. I mean, what kind of kinyan is that?
So we're going to get to that. That's what he's calling kinyan chalipin. So kinyan chalipin is, let's say I want your gemara and you want my gemara. Right, so my gemara is very expensive. It's very good gemara. Right, your gemara is older. It's not as good, but I'm okay with an old gemara. So what I'm going to do is you're going to give me some money. Right?
You can't do that with land, though.
Why not? Why can't you do chalipin with land? The Tosafta says Mefureshes in Maseches Kedushin that you could do chalipin with land. Now, we paskin lemaisa that we don't do chalipin with land, but that's only a practical concern. Meaning, be'etzem, what?
Wasn't the original case of
chalipin? Hamach lefar sharba chamar?
No,
it was a shoe. By Rus. That's the classic case of chalipin, the Gemara in Rav Kinsia cites. But I'm saying the Tosafta says Mefureshes that you could do chalipin with land. Now, practically, we don't do chalipin. We don't do land. We don't swap land with chalipin because the Mishnah does not list it in Kedushin, and chalipin itself is a difficult kinyan to execute properly. And therefore, unless it's clear what it is that you're taking, we generally assume that we cannot do chalipin without some other form of kinyan, which is why if you're going to do chalipin with land, you have to do what's called a kinyan sudar, which is a version of kinyan chalipin, but it's not exactly kinyan chalipin. But regardless, in its principal form,
when Rashi says Zeb Borer, that means that there's a chalipin taking place?
It means that I am taking this side, and by the fact that I'm taking this side, that automatically makes you take the other side.
But that's not a kinyan chalipin.
Well, it has all the elements of a kinyan chalipin. The only thing it doesn't have is me handing you something.
Right.
Right? But that might be what a kinyan chalipin is, meaning a kinyan chalipin in its most pure form, and if we were learning Maseches Kedushin, we could spend all year on this one idea, which is what is a kinyan chalipin? Right? What's the mechanism of transferring a kinyan chalipin, right? When you pull the object that I'm selling you...
It's symbolic.
But it's not symbolic. It's not symbolic. Kinyan suitor might be symbolic. This is not symbolic. Because by definition, as you take the para, right, automatically the shore becomes yours. But this para becomes mine. By me taking it, I divest you from this object, and I divest myself from the other one. So even though with land there's no formal way of showing that by pulling the land, that's what's happening. Right. So Zeb or Lo, right on each side, I'm taking this land, which means I'm divesting by taking this land from that one. And the second that I step out of my responsibility for that side and I take it only on this side, you take full responsibility on that side and you divest from this side. That's what Rashi's saying. The problem is that Rav Ashi, if what he's saying is, doesn't seem to fit with that whole approach, seems unnecessary then. Right? We don't need Rav Ashi just to tell me that there's another way you could do a kinyan. You could do a kinyan chalipin or you could do a kinyan chazaka. Shkoyach. Who needs that? There's a Mishnah. It's a Tosefta. Like, come on. This is elementary, right? It's not elementary for us. If it's elementary for Rav Ashi, certainly elementary for the Gemara. The Gemara knew the Tosefta. The Gemara knew the Mishnah. So there's no reason to bring Rav Ashi if the whole thing is just to show different kinyanim. Right? Now, that's the simple reading of the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is that it's just two answers to the same question. But Tosus is bothered by this, right? And most of the Rishonim do not approach this Gemara by saying it's just two answers. The Ramban does, right? That's the Ramban's reading. The Ramban says, no, it's just two answers to the question, how can you back out? So Rav Yochanan says you do a Kinyan Chalipin, and you do it in a way that the Kinyan Chalipin is valid, and Rav Ashi says you do a Kinyan Chazaka. Nope, fine. Shalom al Yisrael. That's the Ramban, right? And you could explain Rashi that way. But it doesn't answer Tosus's question. So Tosus's question is, why is Rav Ashi here altogether? Right? It doesn't seem strange. Now, you could say, no, right? You could shrug your shoulders and say it's a bad question. Right? You could just say, oh, no, okay, so the Gemara thought there were two possible answers. The Gemara wanted to remind you. Right? You could say such a thing. But Tosafta, I think, it's a strong enough question that it deserves a better answer than shrug your shoulders and say, I guess that just the Gemara just decided. Yeah, Steve?
Kinyan Chazaka doesn't make so much sense here to me.
Why?
Because Kinyan Chazaka is like, I'm laying claim to this land. I'm taking an action. I'm But here it's like a partnership thing. It has to be that they both agree.
Exactly.
So one doing something doesn't really fit the idea that we both agree to something at the same time.
Correct. So the other Rishonim, the Nemuki Yosef and the Rush, when they start reading through and the Rashba, when they start asking Tosis a question, they phrase it exactly that way. They don't just phrase it as in, what's Rav Ashi doing here? But they phrase it as in, you can't bring Rav Ashi as a Kinyan Chazaka because there's no point to a Kinyan Chazaka here. Because again, a Kinyan Chazaka is about me transferring land from you to me. But I already own part of this land. You own every inch the same way I own every inch. We own it together. So there's no Kinyan here to do. So what exactly is the Kinyan? So we're going to get to that answer. We're going to get to answering that question just a minute. Let's read the rest of Tosfos first. So Tosfos says, V'nira l'ri, da kamash malan, that even though the Gemara later on, in Daf Nun Gimel, says that when you make a Kinyan Chazaka, shelo b'fanav, if you do it not in front of the owner of the land, tzarech lemeimar lo, you have to tell him, lech chazek ukni, go, make a Chazaka, and by making a Chazaka, you will take ownership of the land. Hacha, here, kivan sha'amru ata tikach ruach tzfonis, vani ruach dromis. Since we have agreed to whose side of the field each one is going to take, each one took possession of his side of the agreement, and each one did it when the other one wasn't there, it's as if they did a real kinyan chalipin where they swapped the two lands to each other, even though they didn't specifically tell him, you go and take this one. So the other Rishonim point out, and it's an expansion of what Tosfos says, we don't have time to read it in the Rush or in the Nemuki Yosef, but what they mean is that it's not a Kinyan Chazaka in the formal sense of making a Kinyan Chazaka, because they think that the reason why Rav Ashi is here is that you don't need to, it's to tell you a Chiddush. Normally, when you make a Kinyan Chazaka, there's two ways to do it. So if we both come to the closing, and you're the owner, and I'm going to buy it from you, so the way we would do a Kinyan Chazaka is you, the current owner, would tell me, go and take possession of my home. And in front of you, I would go and take possession of your home. Why? Because if you're standing there and I take possession of your home, so the fact that you're there and you're willingly telling me to do this and you're not saying, no, no, it's my home, shows that you want to transfer the property to me. That locks in the transaction. What if you're not present? So if you're not present, it doesn't work. Right, you have to specifically then tell me, go over there and take that piece of property. If I just walk and make a Kinyan Chazaka on your property and you're not standing there and you didn't say boo to me, so I don't own your property, it's not mine. Right? Imagine you go out on vacation, right? So we're going to come to the holidays now, right? The Goyish holidays, people take vacations. You're going to go away for 2 weeks. So I'll go find your very nice apartment and I'll just move in with my brood of rowdy children and we're going to take ownership of your apartment. Right? You didn't tell me to take possession of it. You didn't take it. And I'll say, what do you mean? I made a Kinyan Chazaka. I changed the locks. I threw you out. I put all your stuff in the trash. It's mine now, right? Kinyan Chazaka. I got it for a great deal. It's absurd. Right? Of course not. That doesn't work. Why not? Because the way you make a Kinyan Chazaka is only because you told me, lechazek ukni. The chiddush of this Gemara, says Tosfos, and the Nemuki Yosef, and the Rush, and the Ravid, is that you don't have to say lechazek ukni. Because why do you have to say lechazek ukni? What is the value of saying lechazek ukni? It allows you to take possession of the land when I'm not there. But here, you already own it. You're already a part owner. So once we have the agreement to split, me on my side, you on your side, if I walk the border of my side, what I'm showing is that I'm taking possession of my side from the partnership. Which means that by dint of me taking my side, I no longer have anything to do with your side. And when you walk the borders of your side, you take possession of your side and I have nothing, and you have nothing to do with my side. It's nothing to do with you, and you have nothing to do with me. I'm taking possession of the side that belongs to me, you're taking possession of the side that belongs to you. You don't need lechazek ukni because there's no transaction that's necessary here. That's how the other Rishonim learn the Gemara. So the point of Rav Ashi coming along is that either you need a transaction the way Rav Yochanan thinks, you need some kind of kinyan chalipin, you have to do something to show that I'm going to be on my side, you're going to be on your side. And the way we do that is by saying, I'm taking this side, you take that side, and it's the kinyan chalipin. As soon as I take my side, you take your side. Or alternatively, each of us takes possession of our own side on our own schedule, and I don't need to tell you anything about it because of the agreement that we made. Once we agree that we're going to dissolve this partnership, so then the ownership status of both of us becomes cemented once we take possession of our side. And that has power because of our agreement. So once I then walk and actually do a chazaka, not a kinyan chazaka, an actual chazaka, I'm just demonstrating that I'm here. By demonstrating I'm here, that shows that this land that I already owned is actually mine. But that land that I didn't make a chazaka on, that's not mine anymore. It's a divestment. That's how the other Rishonim learned this Gemara. Make sense, everybody?
So it's good, it's just that you have to actually do something physical.
So the,
as opposed to...
No, so that... Say, no, physical is... that's everybody agrees to. That's what a kinyan chazaka is.
Right,
saying, but the way the Rif adds a word here, which is what the Muki Yosef and the Rashi are picking up on. The way the Rif quotes the Gemara, so I don't want, we don't have time to turn back because I want to read to the next Gemara. I want to try to finish to the next big sugya because the next stuff is just some filler Gemaras that we're not going to focus on. But the Rif adds the word ba'atzmo in the Ravashi's language. He says the way the Rif cites the Gemara, he says Ravashi Amar Kigon Shalach Ze Besoch Shalo Vehechzik Le'atzmo. He does it for himself. It has nothing to do with you. Right? What do I need you for in a kinyan? Because we have to make a transaction. But here, there's no transaction. The chazaka is just proving that the agreement that we made, that I'm going my way, you're going your way, right? Right? Each of us to our own sides, back everybody back to their corners, that can take effect once you decide to take your side. Right? Once you decide that your side of the land is going to be yours, it's done. You don't need to do any form of kinyan. You don't need to instruct the other guy, lechazeku kni, and he doesn't have to be there. That's the way the other Rishonim explained the Gemara. Right? The Ramban still thinks that this is just two answers to the same question. One says you'd make kinyan chazaka, one says make kinyan chalipin. But the other Rishonim think that there's a maila here in the Gemara, that the point of the mission is tayo chiddush, which is that when you're making a partnership dissolution, you don't need A, the presence of the other parties to dissolve the partnership. You can dissolve it without their presence. Again, once there's an agreement in place. And it does not require a kinyan, which is a very important piece of halacha when we talk a little bit later in the Gemara, not today, but on Daf Dalet and on Daf Yod Gimel, when we get to Good and Agud and other partnership dissolution Gemaras, the notion that you do not need a kinyan when you dissolve a partnership is a very important piece of partnership dissolution. Because you might think that just like you need a kinyan to make a partnership, to form this partnership agreement between people, maybe you also need a kinyan to formally dissolve it, right? Because you can't just walk away from your responsibilities. It's not usually something that you could do in halacha. There are very few cases where you could just say, yadayim mesulekes, I'm done with this. There are certain cases where you could say that, but it's very rare where in halacha you could just abandon your responsibilities or abandon your property. So here's one of the cases where you might be able to, without a formal mechanism, be able to, in a sense, abandon your responsibility. Now, again, you're not quite abandoning it. You're just shifting it, right? You're concentrating your level of responsibility to one portion of the total assets, and he's concentrating his responsibility to one portion of the total assets. But what's changing is that I no longer have any responsibilities to my partner. And that means that that's some form of abandonment of responsibility. And the chiddush of these rishonim is that you don't need a kinyan to do that. And that's what we learn out of this Gemara. So that's how they interpret the Gemara. Now, you could argue on those Rishonim, and many do in the Acharonim, fine, but not for right now. Okay, yeah.
Just to clarify, is one of the two partners after this agreement doing their chazaka on their side sufficient to change the reality?
So that's the machlokas in the Rashba and the Muki Yosef. The Muki Yosef, according to the Rif, says that they both need to do it because it has nothing to do with you. Me showing chazaka on my side says nothing about your side. In order for you to be responsible, yes, it's a personal divestment.
So when I before the other person do my side according to the name of the reason.
Yes.
Then I have.
You have divested from that side, and you have full responsibility for this side.
And the other guy has partial responsibility for both.
For now.
Yes.
Correct. Now, if he tries to do anything on your side, you could throw him out because you have full You have full control. It's fully yours. Right, he just hasn't taken his side yet, which is why the Ravid prefers the requirement of Chalipin, which is why if I do it, then automatically your side becomes yours. Right. The problem is if you say that, then you run into the Rashi problem from before, right, which is why do you have two answers. So it's a little bit circular, and the Acharonim try to sort it all out. There's a long nesivus about it, but not for right now. So it's more complex. There are other Gemaras that we would need to learn in order to fully extricate ourselves from these particular problems, specifically how to understand the Tosefta about Chalipin and how Chalipin for Karka works. So it's not for our approach right now, but okay, fine. So adka. So let's spend the next couple of minutes just trying to read some of this Gemara here about walls, and then we're gonna get to the next big sugya hopefully next week, which is about shuls, which I think is the fun part. So okay, here we go. So the Gemara says, Makom Shnagu Libnos, the second of the intermediate wide lines. Gvil Avni Dilo Meshafya. Right, so the Gemara is trying to tell you what are these different types of materials. So Gvil, right, which is the strongest material, is non-smoothed stone. Gazis Avni de Meshafya. Gazis is smooth stone. Dichsiv Kol Ela Avanim Ikaros Kamidos Gazis Kfisin Archi Levenin Livni. Right, all these different types of stones. So Amar Rava Brei Rava Ravashi. Mi Mai Digvil Avni Dilo Meshafya Ninu. How do you know? Now again, this pasuk is coming from the pasuk I believe in Melachim Beis. Melachim Beis talking about the Binyan Misam. Melachim Aleph about the Binyan Misam Mikdash. Right? See if you have the Torah Shalim. Right? The whole pasuk is Kol Eila Avanim Yikaros Kamidos Gazis Migoraros VaMegira MiBayis UmiChutz UmiMasad Ad HaTzvachos UmiChutz Ad HaChatzer HaGedola. Right? That Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis Hamikdash and he used this type of stone to cover everything. So how do you know that this type of stone Gvil is non-smooth stone? V'Hai Tefach Yisera. And the fact that we add an extra tefach in the Mishnah, remember, right, it's 6 tefachim for Gvil, right, and then it's 5 tefachim for Gazis, right? That's what the Mishnah said, right? Yeah, Gvil is Enosin Gimel V'Gimel, Gazis is Tefchayim U'Mechza, it's 5, right, V'Kulei V'Kulei, right? So what's the extra tefach for in Gvil? So maybe, V'Hai Tefach Yisera, L'Morsha D'Karnasa. So Rashi says, L'Morsha D'Karnasa, Rashi Ha'avanim Boltos L'Chutz, She'inu Chalakos, U'Lahachi Bayrochav Tefach Yisera. Right, it's jagged. So you need to allocate 6 tefachim of total land because you're not using perfectly smooth cinder block, right? So you can't be exacting. So if you plop the stones down in this wall, if you say only 5 tefachim, well, some of the edges might stick out from where the wall is supposed to be, and then somebody's going to be hindered in their ability to use that space. So therefore we say 6 tefachim because that's enough space for the wall to be built without infringing on either side's property, right? That's the approach here. So the Gemara says, Dilma palga de gazisu, maybe it's half of gazis, v'hai tefach kisera libeni or bihu, kidikamrinan, as we said, kfisin archi libeni livni, right, these are all different types of bricks, v'hai tefach kisera libeni orve, and the extra tefach is just for the space between the bricks, the mortar, whatever you're putting there. So Amr lights, he says back to him, v'tamechen, according to you, kfisin archi minalan, so how do you know that kfisin or archi, which is a different type of brick that needs even less space? The Gemara says, El Gemara Gemiri La Gvil Nami Avni Dilo Meshafya Gemara Gemiri La. So he says, no. How do we know that the term Gvil in the Pasuk means non-smooth stone? Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So Mesorah passed down that the translation of the word Gvil means non-smooth stone, rough-hewn stone. Okay, fine.
Is the inference is that it's one stone that's 6 tefachim? Or is it, you know, could it be...
No, it can be multiple stones. It can be multiple stones, but the stones are not—they're not smoothed.
Right.
They're not—they're not formed to fit this space. Yeah. Right. When you think of a cinder block wall, right, you can be exacting. You can cut them exactly to the right width. Right. But if you're just carrying big rocks that you find, then you're not quarrying rough rocks. Right. So you don't get to exactly form each brick perfectly so that it can be laid nicely. Yeah. So you're just plopping them down. But right. Think old Irish stone fence.
I was thinking that the border. The two properties is in the middle somewhere of that 6 tefachim.
Right.
And it really, it's not that it's precise. You can't line up the stones that are in line with that imaginary border.
Correct.
It's just the stones cross the border. It's all
correct. And that's why there's such a fight in the Gemara fundamentally about right. What happens if it falls down? How do you split it? And the answer is we split everything equally, right? Because it's going to be very hard to split each stone in half. Exactly. Right, so what are we doing? We're saying we both have to build the wall together, we both have to give the same amount of space, and we have to both give the same amount of stones, right, or the value, right, whatever it is. Right, and that's the idea here. Fine. Iku da Amri, another version. Amri le Ravacha Brei de Rav Avya le Ravashi. Mimai, how do I know the Hai Kfisin Archininu? How do I know that Kfisin means bricks? V'hai Tefach Yaseir Lebeni Urvi, and the extra Tefach of Kfisin to Levenin is for the mortar. Dilma Mai Kfisin, Avni Dol Meshafyan. Maybe Kfisin means that it's not smooth. For the parts that are jagged, just like we said before, the gvil and gazis, meaning the same way that there's four things in the Mishnah, right? There's gvil, there's gazis, there's kfisin, and there's levanin. So the Gemara wants to know, maybe the difference between kfisin and levanin is the same difference between gvil and gazis. Gvil and gazis are stone that are formed for being part of a wall or not formed for being part of a wall, and levanin and archin are the same thing, but for bricks. Right? Smooth bricks and rough bricks. Okay. So Amar Abaye, Shma Mina, we learn from either version of this, Kol Beini Orvi Tefach. Between each brick and each stone, there has to be one Tefach. So Hani Mili Betina, that's if you use cement. Aval Berichsa, but if you use very thin, like gravel, not cement, to put it together, Baitfe, then you need more space. And there are those that say, Hani Mili Berichsa, Aval Betina, Lo Baikolehai. And there are those that say that, no, the maximum you need is a Tefach or less, not a Tefach or more. Two versions of how much you need. Again, this fits very nicely with the mahalach that we developed on the very beginning of this year when we started talking about the Mishnah, which is that we were developing this idea that it's all about zoning code, right? That the machloksim here are not about the per se about what your obligations are, but so much about what is necessary to ensure the proper building code for whatever it is that you're being obligated to build. Okay, so you know, let's stop here because we're at 8:30 already. So next time we'll pick up with the beginning of these of Gemaras, and then we'll try to start the sugyas about the Bate Knesses.